ॐ नमो भगवते ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Going to read a verse from Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad's Prayers. Evam janam nipititam pravahiko pe. Kamabhikamam anuya prapatan prasangat. Kritvatma satsura. Kritvasamat surashina bhagavan grahitaha. Soham katam no visraje tava britya sevam. Evam janam nipititam prabhavahi kope. Kamabhi kamam anuya papatam prasangat. Kritvatma sat surasinshina bhagavan grahitaha. Saham katam no visraje tava britya sevam. Evam us. Janam, people in general, fallen. Ahi and well, full of snakes. Kama abhikamam, desiring the sense objects. Following. Yaha, condition. Prasanna, because of bad condition. Or increased association with material disease, like himself, Sri Narada, saintly person, Bhagavan Katam, how, no, indeed, Tava, your, Prityasevam, service of your pure devotee. Hiranyakashipu praying, offering prayers to Hiranyakashipu. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with desires one after another, I was gradually falling blind, well, full of snakes, following the general populace. Draw a painting of that one, Prahlad. Blinds. Following the general, he's going to another page. He's going to the general populace. But your servant kindly accepted me as his disciple, instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? All of soldiers and cohorts, the Lord was in an intense mood of anger. One by one, the demigods came, instructed by Lord Brahma to offer his, and he began his prayers, disqualification. The first words of humility. his words, next words are words of service. In humility, service to the demigods, because they've instructed him to do it, although he has minus qualification. But because of their instruction, the service. And then his third message is, then as his prayers proceed, he's indicating outside, more peaceful externally. He indicates that he's not afraid of this sharp claws and pinching and roaring, because all for the demons. And the gentle nature is the nature meant for the devotees, anger towards the demons. He feels full shelter even in that circumstance, because it's behavior and exhibition of transcendental anger. Because his heart is part of pure devotion, he can understand the spirit and the mood and disposition of the Supreme Lord to give benediction to Prahlad. And there's Prahlad is indicating the foolishness of seeking anything that's bothered. Who had more than Hiranyakashipu? And those who want, they lose sight of the Lord and the Lord's shelter. Commonly, those things, I only want the shelter of the Supreme Lord. But my spirit, been born as the son of Hiranyakashipu, is I want all those things. So please, don't place before me what I know you're going to place, this opportunity to take some benediction from you. Sure enough, at the end of the, and being a pure devotee, he only wants the opportunity to serve the one who gives service to the Supreme through, in his case, through Narada. So I'm just going to go back a few verses. 23. People to be elevated to the higher planetary system of enjoyment. But I have seen all of the activities of my father. When my father was angry, and he laughed sarcastically in the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, by you, with it. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the I'm fully his program. As parents, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your devotee. Serve him as a sincere servant. It's the nature of the soul. We're attached to something. Teaching of the Bhagavatam, that there's some value, some happiness that's limited and temporary and there. If there's happiness there, from temporary, it comes in the life of devotion. And so, there, it's any kind of those other benedictions that if they have the opportunity to ask for, they ask for. That one, and a big yes to the realm of the eternal. And that's the Lord Kesa Prahlad, it's Narada. Because by service to the devotee, that's service to the Supreme Lord. And that's the message to Prabhupada. So just go on, read this next. In this material world, every living being requires some which is exactly like a mirage in a desert. We're in the desert. Or, in other words, in this material world. Similarly, by definition, penis. As for this body, what is its value? This is very difficult to obtain. But because they are all their senses, they run after the so-called. How sad. And what is to be said of your Lord Shiva or the goddess of fortune? You never put your lotus hand upon us, but you have put it upon mine. A nice purport of even the goddess of fortune never had such fortune. Have you been so merciful to me? Unprecedented mercy. An answer. Narada. Think of it. Other than Narada's association. And that's very beautiful the way the Prabhupada has translated this verse in particular. It's the first part is his previous situation. By association. Yeah. Got. Because of bad association. For life. How many times worse is it today? If Rani Kashipu, our parents are not Rani, something similar. He said, Western audience, but in Western audience, you're, you know, and possible. Through the association of it up and like leave it and don't go back and grab a hold of it again. It takes this ongoing hankering for association and receiving the mercy because this is exactly what Prahlad's situation is. He's in the presence of the personality of Godhead. He's not just relieved of that unwholesome association and its consequence like falling into a blind well filled with snakes. That's his previous situation. He's now before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how did that happen? It happened by the mercy of Narada. And that's what the second part says. Kritva Atmasat. The first word in the third line. Kritva Atmasat. Causing me to acquire spiritual qualities like himself, Sri Narada. That Narada not only gave devotional service, he gave the exalted qualities of a pure devotee. His fearlessness, his complete steadfastness and remembrance of the personality of Godhead. Full confidence that the Lord will protect him. Even in the most terrible of circumstances. Most difficult and trying and taxing life-threatening circumstances, remaining completely peaceful, fearlessly presenting the teaching of devotion to his classmates who had never heard it before, facing the wrath of Shanda and Marka, his teachers, and so on and so on. Where did he get that, those wonderful qualities? From Narada. And so, you want to give me some benediction? And I have such tendency as previously with this unwholesome association. And with those things, then there would be the tendency to take shelter of them and be the enjoyer of them. No. I only want one thing. The association of Narada. How can I give up the association? It's not like Lord Nrisingadeva is asking him to give up Narada's association. So why is he speaking like this? Because it's the nature of contamination. When we have something, we take shelter of it. And try to make it ours and be the enjoyer of it. Our little, Rabindrasroop calls it our God project. We all have our little desire to make our, you know, the kingdom of God within God's kingdom and be the enjoyer of it. It's just, it's the nature of our material contamination. It's the nature of souls that come to this material world. Raga and dvesha. We covet that position and we have an attitude towards he who has that position. That's our contamination. And he's saying, no. How can I give up the association of Narada? Again, Buddha Shingadeva isn't asking him to give up Narada's association. But he's thinking, if I have something, I'll take shelter of that something. You follow? No. So he goes on with his prayers glorifying in various ways the identity of the personality of Godhead as the personality of Godhead in so many wonderful ways. Describing, you know, he's the cause of all causes, and through his time energy he brings things into being and withdraws everything, and yet you are unchanging, you are the Supreme Lord. It's Lord Nrsingadev's before him. And he's understanding all these things about his transcendental identity. So although he's just a small boy, he's vastly learned. And he's exhibiting that. And Lord Nrsingadev is very pleased. At the end of the chapter, Lord Nrsingadev, having already placed his hand on his head, he smiles. And appreciates the pure devotion and the wonderful prayers offered by Prahlad. And he ends again by asking him to take a benediction. Let's get to the end of the chapter. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Prahlad, O most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. Bhadram, Bhadram te. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living entities, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled." He knew it was coming, and here it is. And it's his pastime, so please don't deny me my pastime. "My dear Prahlad, may you live for a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction." Meaning, you've been through so many tribulations, but what is there to lament? Because you're at the topmost stage. You've attained love for me. You've seen me. You've understood me. So what is there to lament in life? Come to that position of unmixed devotion. There's nothing more. There's nothing higher. There's nothing further to attain. Whatever happens, is there something to lament? "My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows. For I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone." Interesting. Those who are really wise, who have attained the topmost position, they wish to serve me in so many varieties of ways. For I am the only one who can fulfill all desires. But persons are on that platform, their desire is the desire of love, not the desire of I can get something. very clear, repeated in this whole chapter, is that the necessity of coming to the position where there isn't some other desire than the desire to become in the Lord's service of different mellows, not what one can receive from Him. The self-centered position is evaporated or gone in favor of the position of unalloyed service in various mellows. So he ends, Lord Nrisingadeva ends with that message. What does Prahlad say? He says essentially the same thing again. Only he says it stronger. I was born in an atheistic family. I'm naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions. And I desire to become liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Oh, my worshipable Lord, because the seed of my lusty desires, which is the root of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart. You have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Now he's revealing, and Prabhupada explicitly states it in the purport, he's a Nityasiddha devotee. He's not like us. But he's taking the part of one like us. I mean, Narada understood who he was while he was sitting within the womb of his mother. Now he's saying to Lord Nrisingadeva, you've sent me here. But in this unwholesome association, what to speak of us, who are not Nityasiddha devotees, in unwholesome association, is there not some tendency to be an enjoyer of the temporary? Yes, there is such tendency. And then receive something, and then become the enjoyer of that something? Isn't that the tendency? Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of this entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. So, I'm sure that you won't ask me to accept something, because you would never induce your devotee to do that. On the other hand, one who does desire some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he's no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or a pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. Oh, my Lord, one of my favorite sections of his prayers, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. So, what's there to ask for? So he asks for something. O Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Of course, no material desires leaves the spiritual desires. But how does the Supreme Lord give that benediction? Well, of course, he can give the benediction however he likes. But he gives it through the association of his devotees, his pure devotees. How does one come to the position of devotion? Through a devotee. To a devotee's association. How does one become a pure devotee? To the association of a pure devotee, to the exclusion of all other things. To the exclusion of all other things. Third time. To the exclusion of all other things. And then whatever those other things are, those other things are for the purpose of service of the Supreme Lord, because that's what the pure devotee teaches, is service to the Supreme Lord. His prayer for the association of Narada is, I want the association of Narada because he'll train me further in how to serve you. Maybe some of you remember that section from Chaitanya Charitamrita that we discussed, actually on a number of occasions, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatana Goswami about the process of devotional service and how devotional service begins, and devotional service begins with association of sadhu. And then Lord Chaitanya says, and when one has attained the stage of prema, that same association is as absolutely essential as at the very beginning stages. It's not like, okay, now I'm advanced personality, I don't need association. That's foolish. That's impersonal. Well, impersonal and foolish, both. The attainment of the message of pure devotion, we wouldn't even know what the message of pure devotion is without the association of pure devotee. And as Prahlada is saying, and how to carry out that service to the pure devotee? How would we know without the training of the pure devotee? And in the higher stages devotions, it's exactly like that too. There's always, we're always in the position of receiving further training. We're under the care of someone who is further guiding and further engaging and furthering us along in the path of perfected devotion. There's no such thing as now I've arrived. It's not like that. So this verse,
Britta Savam. Tava Britta Savam. Vishnu Jay Tava Britta Savam.
Katam nu visrajay tava britya sevam. How, indeed, can I give up the service of your pure devotee? How can I give up Narada's association? Impossible. And Narada's association means the opportunity to serve, just as the previous verse, text 24, says. All those things. No, just let me just stand by the side of your pure devotee.
I'd like to read a little bit.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's
commentary
for text 28. Fallen persons with concepts of high and low, filled with all desire, who have fallen into the material snake hole, I have also fallen by their association, but I've been accepted by Narada, who has made me his own possession. Quote, let this jiva be mine. Narada, let this jiva be mine. By force he has taken me by the hand, brought me near to him, taught me the king of mantras, and had me serve him. Having fallen in the hole of samsara, I have now become your devotee. Without his mercy, this was not possible. How can I give up service to my guru, your servant? The karmis and gyanis, on attaining their goal, give up the sadhana, the means to get the goal. I cannot be like that on the path of bhakti. When the sadhana gives result, devotees who attained the Lord, such as Dhruva, still have a desire for sadhana of associating with devotees and the other processes. So, one of the phrases, I put all this in a really simple statement. For one who has a simple and grateful heart, Prabhupada says, such a person can easily enter into the kingdom of God. The gifts, transcendental gifts that we've received through our founder Acharya, particularly, from him, likewise, the predecessor Acharyas, those gifts that Prabhupada has given, they're from the predecessor Acharyas. He didn't create them or fabricate them. He received them too. So he's the recipient of such special mercy. And he wishes for us to be similarly recipients of that special mercy. And one who recognizes the wonderful gift that one has been given, not just that we become comfortable, meaning, you know, chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritanor jana, the four types of pious people that render devotional service, we wish to become relieved of some distress. So we get relief of distress. Or some economic situation is troubling, and so we take shelter of the Supreme Lord and the economic trouble is dissipated. Or we have some curiosity and the curiosity is satisfied, oh, now that's what devotional service is, or the message of Bhagavad Gita is. And then we move on. But the real gift, the deep sense of gratitude is to recognize what it is that one has been given. It's not just the termination of turmoil and struggle, hard struggle with material existence. It's far more. Far more. It's the attaining one's eternal position in service to the Supreme Lord. And we don't even know what that is because we're only evaluating or judging by our worldly experience is beyond our comprehension. But to the degree to which we can recognize the gift, there's a deep sense of gratitude. Even if we don't know the fullness of what that gift is. By that deep sense of gratitude, then as what Prahlad is expressing, the desire to be in his service and continue and continue and continue and learn further and further and further about the ways of serving the Supreme Lord in the attitude of pure devotion where there isn't anything else. We may not be there, we don't even have a clue of what that is other than appreciating Narada is there or our founder Acharya is there, and what a wonderful gift. And the sense of disqualification, many devotees feel that sense of disqualification. What's Prahlad's sense of disqualification? we heard some of the verses. He just, I have minus qualification. I have nothing but disqualification other than one thing. The mercy of Narada, and through that, the mercy of the most merciful Supreme Lord. And because he's most merciful, he will accept. And that's, what more can we ask? Being engaged in his service. So let us, like Prahlad, never depart from the service of Narada. And the representatives of Narada, who have similarly given the same message, the same opportunity. And when some hint or even a direct opportunity to achieve something, like these some things that Prahlad is rejecting, understand that the transient, flickering, phantasmagoria nature of those things. And similarly, you know, the absence of those things, or the discomfort, the difficulty, the challenges that we face. None of us are exempt. There's no such thing. There's always those things. And you know, it's not a standard of somebody is a truly a pure devotee, they never have any challenges. Look at Prahlad. And any, think of anybody that you can think of who doesn't have their challenges. And so we have ours and everybody has theirs. But the position of the devotee, pure devotee, is they just take shelter of the personality of Godhead. Practical action and steps may be taken, but the position of feeling protected by the Supreme Lord is always there. And let us never stray or move even one iota or a fraction of an inch from that position of keeping in the association of those exalted souls who have given Krishna consciousness to us and are ready to continue to take us further in the process of Krishna consciousness. If our hearts remain, you know, as Prabhupada said, simple and grateful, one can easily enter into the kingdom of God. That's for sure. Any comments or questions from anyone? Yes, Imangi.
In a conditioned state, the feeling of gratitude, it's like the sine curve, you know, sometimes it's deep and sometimes you lose focus and gratitude is gone and you do the most silly, most harmful mistakes. So, my question is like both ways. When I forget that sense of gratitude, how do I reinstate myself again? And being in a position of caregiver, when others are making repeatedly the same mistakes, this is a part two of the question. What should I do from my side?
In key words during your speaking, somebody rustled some papers and somebody coughed and I didn't catch the whole thing. And I said, it's hard to respond when I... So can you, do you mind doing it again? Please,
yes.
Nobody cough. Just hold your breath or something.
How can we maintain the sense of gratitude, like, because I see the sine curve in my own life.
Yes.
Like sometimes it's deep,
yes.
And sometimes.
Yes.
So how do you reinstate yourself in the position of being grateful?
When you kind of lost it?
Lost it.
Is it a two-part question, or that's
And the second part is, as a caregiver, sometimes...
As a caregiver.
Sometimes you experience that those who are under your care, they also go through those things, but they make such embarrassing mistakes.
They make embarrassing mistakes.
Yeah, because of that, because they've lost the sense of gratitude and they, you know, lost focus. How can you help then that person again feel what they've received and from whom they've received from?
Not exactly on topic, but I was with, yesterday evening I was in Orlando, Florida, and it was a little warmer than Chicago. And I was with Trivikram Maharaj, and we were sharing Prabhupada stories. And one of the Prabhupada stories that he shared was Prabhupada was asking different devotees, what was the most difficult challenge that you've met in your spiritual life? And devotees were saying, he shared what some of the devotees were saying. And Prabhupada went, oh, then how about you? It was like, it's very personal. And they would share, most difficult thing. And as they were saying, and how Prabhupada responded, made it light. And then Trivikram Maharaj boldly ventured and said, ask Prabhupada, what was the most difficult challenge you have encountered in your spiritual life? He said, suddenly Prabhupada's mood completely changed from being very light, being extremely grave. And anyone who will tell you of what it was like being with Srila Prabhupada, his guru, he's heavy. So when he was feeling, I've shared this before, sitting in the room, Prabhupada is telling Bengali jokes. And no one understands the Bengali jokes. Except Prabhupada, because he's Bengali. And then he would tell the joke and then he would laugh. And you know, look around the room and his whole body would laugh. And everyone was laughing, although they couldn't understand the joke. And then if suddenly he became very serious about something, the whole mood, the whole, everything like snapped down and sit up and then he was moved because it could just change. So he said, Prabhupada became very grave. He said it twice. You would not want to know. You would not want to know. So he who does not want us to know was able to, by his magnanimity and, you know, the empowerment invested in him by Krishna to lift others out of their forgetfulness. But it wasn't necessarily, you know, by one means or another means. It was by the Krishna-inspired means. Mainly, but you know, by empowerment, being able to, and being trustworthy and being transcendental, being able to touch the hearts of others and then take them out of their situation. Who are we? You know, we don't have that spiritual empowerment, that spiritual capacity, that spiritual depth and spiritual strength. But whatever it is that we have, it's Krishna sees that and we extend genuine, you know, from our heart to their heart care. And there's an empowerment that goes with that, that's from Krishna, that may touch the hearts of that person, the heart of that person, and stir something. We never, you know, who knows? It's maybe not a very satisfying answer, Because, you know, because kind of we like, you do this and you get that result. But it's not that kind of an answer. It's when there's genuine care and concern, knowing our own limitations, nonetheless having genuine care and concern. It's something very similar within Prahlad's prayers. One of the prayers that comes up is, please save all the conditioned souls. Mm. And who are we to think of all the conditioned souls? Maybe, you know, one who we're giving care to. So it's prayer to the Supreme Lord that please give me whatever it takes to help this person that I care for. Only if you give me that capacity. But it's, you know, it's beyond ourselves. It's a descending mercy situation that can enable the person who is down to not stay down. And it can be very simple things, like remembering, helping that person remember the ways in which they have received. What are the kindnesses that you have been the recipient of. I'll share with you some of mine. You share with me some of yours. Whatever the super soul inspires, suitable for the person and the time and the circumstance. And for ourselves, the first part of your question, it's wonderful if there are persons in your life or our lives who we can go to and share rather than hide. Because one of the ways that Maya works is just like Aesop's fables, take one stick, easily broken. Take a bundle of sticks, not easily broken. So one of the ways that Maya breaks us is to have us isolate ourselves from devotee association. And we just don't share that we're down. In part, you know, for any number of different reasons. Like I'll be embarrassed if I share that I'm down. Or I'm rebellious. Nobody really cares anyway, or whatever are the tricks of Maya that take us away from the bundle and can break us, and then break us, and then break us, and you know, beyond recognition, broken. It's Maya's trick. So something that we can avoid, a care that we can give, is just to be there, not necessarily like fix the problem. Just be there. Just be the association for that person who's down. And similarly, if we can not separate ourselves, but stay in the association, or specifically, a little light goes on and say, let me seek the association of others. And not just necessarily blah, 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 but just be in the association of others who are not in a down stretch, or they're feeling some gratitude, or just ask them, can you share with me whatever the right question would be for the circumstance. Share with me the ways in which you're feeling gratitude, because I'm feeling smashed right now. Or I don't even have to do it with the reason why I'm saying, but just, it's, there are another very nice is some favorite passages from the scripture, some favorite songs that one likes to sing, some favorite prayers one likes to recite, and entering into the mood of those prayers that one likes to recite. So it's not just information, but it's feeling. Entering into the mood of, again, feeling. Because we can get numbed. Go ahead.
So, not sharing, the reason for not sharing is like you have an understanding where the lack of gratitude is coming from and everything, and you have many conversations with your superior on this topic in the past, and the mind is saying, you know the reason, you everything, just continue, the process will help you. Is that Maya also?
Yeah.
To think like that?
Yeah. Like, you know, the example that you're giving is very similar to Prahlad's, which, you know, in a shorter form, he's saying, through this bad association, dusanga, or prasanga, bad association and association with bad qualities. I've adopted them. And I'm identifying with them instead of with you, my Supreme Lord, or my dear devotee. So yeah, just not being able to receive the, you know, reminders of reality, capital R reality, even, you know, again and again being reminded and staying stuck, that's Maya. It's embracing Maya, taking shelter of Maya. Because Maya Maya will release us if we take shelter of Krishna. It's just a matter of saying yes to Krishna instead of saying no to Krishna. We continue to say yes to Maya. And that's the influence of Maya.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah.
Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Very often feel a sense of inadequacy.
A sense of?
Inadequacy.
Inadequacy, okay.
Yes. And devotees, you know, doing some service and they'll really praise you, and then I feel very inadequate, and it's something which has been growing, and I feel so I'm not sure how to give it up. I mean, not give it up in the sense I feel, is it something good or is it something not very favorable for my devotional service?
Specific in terms of when the person's praise?
Yes.
Or otherwise?
No, mostly when it is, because I have that sense of inadequacy, that I'm not adequate to get all this, whatever praise is coming my way, or whatever, I'm being asked that I can do more and more, and I just feel it's not, so somehow I feel down in that sense then.
Well, there's a very simple solution. I mean, in one sense, it's good. In another sense, it's not good. In one sense, it's good is you're not thinking, yes, I deserve the praise. So that's good that you're not thinking, yes, I deserve the praise. You're thinking, I don't deserve this praise. So that's good. But that's still on the material platform. And the transcendental platform is, who's this praise for? Where, if there's something good that one's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or our acharyas, if you see something good in me, there's someone who put that something good in me. And so the praise goes to them. And if you see something bad in me, I deserve it. So let me improve myself. Not like beat yourself up, but let me improve myself. But as far as praise goes, that there's the transcendence goes to another. And then it doesn't stick. You know, you don't even, you know, feel down at all. You know, because it's not meant for you. It's meant for whoever put that there. follow? I'll say two things to this. First is autobiographical. Period of time as a younger brahmachari, I was watching some of the older devotees make fools of themselves, some of them, in terms of, you know, jockeying for position to get this title or that position, and one of them was sannyas. And I found it disgusting. They would do, you know, really foolish things in order to get that recognition of being a sannyasi. What, you know, the fact that was a disqualification. But it was going on. So I more or less in my mind thought, you know, I don't want anything to do with any of that. In fact, I very much like the simplicity of being a brahmachari, and I think it would be very good if there were exemplary brahmacharis. Just, you know, they don't have to have this or that, just live the life of brahmachari. So that was, I mean, I didn't advertise it, that was just something internal that I felt. And I was, you know, very busy in preaching activity. Very happy, very happy. And one day, my GBC said, guess what? You've been approved by the GBC to take sannyas. I didn't even know that there was a procedure for it, but there's a, you know, now I know there's a procedure for it. I was on a waiting list, and then they would discuss, and then, you know, pass the next year, you know, 2-year waiting list, 1-year waiting list, and then the bell rang. So I was approved for sannyas. And I said, you know, why? You know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And, well, it's a facility for preaching. Well, yeah, I've got plenty of preaching. I can't do any more than what I'm doing. No, thanks. I didn't share the other thing. And the reply was, oh, so you're attached. I didn't understand till later what he meant. Oh, you're thinking maybe you'd like to get married. That you're attached. I said, well, you can think what you like, but no thanks. And then a year passed, and people were saying, oh, you approved sannyas, you should take sannyas. You know, why? You know, it's facility for preaching. It's, you know, same. I don't need a facility for preaching. Oh, but there's facility for preaching, you should do it. You know, well-wishers, not just. So I decided to take sannyas. And then after I took, the day that I took sannyas, this flip happened. You know, that's, you know, 1 hour I'm in a brahmachari cloth, the next hour I'm in a sannyas cloth, and everyone comes and pays obeisances. And as a brahmachari, my training was, you pay obeisances whether people offer obeisances or not. And certainly when people pay obeisances, you pay obeisances. And they would say, no, you're not supposed to pay obeisances. I said, where does it say that? You're not supposed to pay obeisances. No, you should just stand there and receive people's obeisances. I said, forget it, I'm not going to do that. And then slowly I started to understand it wasn't me that they're offering obeisances to. It's the order of sannyas, and respect goes to the order of sannyas, and it's good for persons to offer respect. It's good for a person to offer respect. It's good to be respectable, but it's good for a person to be to offer respect. So I kind of got used to it, because it wasn't for me. And so similarly, if people offer some praise, it's not for you. If you think it's for you, you're Maya. It's not for you. You're in the position of servant, and somewhere there's some descending mercy coming so that you can do something. Because if it wasn't for descending mercy, what a mess. It's not you. It's some merciful empowerment to do something. So whatever words you say, what's in your heart is Krishna's mercy. This is the mercy of our founder Acharya has given us this process of devotion. I was stumbling along in some dark place doing some nothing, and somehow a devotional service came into my life. Now I can do something. Some little something. something so it comes out in a way that it's like pleasing to the hearts of the devotees. So it's just transparent, goes right through to where the credit goes. Your little goal is to do with descending mercy. There's other examples, but...
formulating, so please forgive me if it's not fully coherent.
The question?
When the peak or the, when the sine curve is on its high, a person feels grateful and it impels and nice goes down to the then somehow. Access that same gratitude that was impelling them on the high. If time, it's the association lifts a person up.
Yes.
So, it doesn't even want to be what's what is, somehow as I'm saying, even the answers are there that, yeah, it's we need to do, but we don't, should not do, but we do, bottom. Which is there.
Well, you know, that's from the head. Fusion of devotion. Just in contrast, well, it's not acting, you know, you recognize something, you know, like a child is given something. You know, they don't know what, they don't consider that something, it's just something. And they fiddle with that something, they put the something down and go to another something, and they're happy, and then they're sad because they lose. Anyway, what your question, you access your heart. And it's when you're in the down position, but like, when you're receiving praise, or things are going well, or, you know, if you receive from the heart, you'll act from the heart. Depending upon the circumstance, created supersedity. Precedity and supersedity. The message that's being given is received from the heart. As I said before, I may not have received, but that which I received, the part that I can understand, it's a transformation of life. Opportunity to leave the world of illusion and enter into the world of very grateful. Because I couldn't have figured it out my way out of there. It just doesn't happen that way. The kingdom doesn't come by figuring it out. And how can I, this unsteadiness in devotional service quickly passed, or, you know, the amplitude of the sine curve recognizes what it is that I have received. So it's something that you can access. It's devotee. What's the basis of, or why anybody is doing this, or why am I doing this? You know, it's those big questions that we, you know, we're too busy to think about. You know, you think deeply about them. You know, so access those questions. And it, you know, it's not the best time when you're down to ask those questions because it's so darker. Gee, I don't know, and what, you know, woo, woo, woo. All I can, you know, sing in the blues. So be thoughtful all the time. Access the heart all the time. All the time. And that, and get it right. And otherwise, it's going to be the mind, you know, the soul's real shelter, the soul's admission, and opportunity. If you do that on a regular basis, then it, when the down positions become so far down that you don't, you know, it's actually an opportunity to access the same question in a, from another perspective. Not from a deeper level, but from another perspective. That is, this is, all of that down stuff is illusory. And there's another reality. Let me just take shelter of the reality. Because I'm regularly accessing that. If my life is a, not just a behavior of devotion, I'm acting from the heart, I'm doing what the soul is meant to do. And it's the position of happiness. I find happiness in it, in a loving relationship. And it starts with the master. And everything else is part of that. Everything else is part of that. Everything else. Down can look pretty down. Yes.
Maharaj, in relation to both these previous questions, why would one land in a situation where one has what mistake did I make?
What mistake? Jiva Goswami. Turning your attention, turning your face away from Krishna. Withdrawing your attention from Krishna. It's a free will event. That's the mistake.
And that's why I'm not able to access.
That's the Maya energy is doing her thing. Two. New York. You're facing the sun. And you turn your back on the sun. What do you see? Shadow. There's two positions. Prabhupada. You see the sun or you see the shadow. There's not a third thing. And why are you seeing the shadow? Because you turned your back on the sun. But it's dark and it's fearful and I don't like it and yuck. But then we're pursuing it. Looking for happiness in a place where there's no happiness. Why? What's your question? What's the cause? It's turning our back on Krishna. And so we see the shadow. And we're trying to find happiness in the reflection. Solution. Turn again to Krishna. Well, it's not just so simple. Because we're habituated to the other. We're addicted. There's a section I'm reading where Kapila is answering Devahuti's question about how to get free from attachment. And he explains this really long, elaborate thing. And then he says, and even when come to that position of seeing spirit, in a short while, he's back again trying to be the enjoyer of matter. Because the tendency is very strong. So that's the sine curve. You know, knowledge is not enough. So what's the solution? The solution is Krishna's mercy. Krishna can withdraw that illusory potency. Well, if Krishna can withdraw that illusory potency, then my goodness, why doesn't he? Because we don't want him to. We like our misery. We're like, the sources of misery, which is trying to be an independent enjoyer. That's the source of misery. And when we think, if I let go of that, being the enjoyer, what'll I have? I don't want to let go of that, so I don't let go of that. And so we'll never experience love. and loving relationship and the happiness of loving relationship, because it's always this calculation thing going on. How am I like that bumper sticker? Are we having fun yet? And that the remedy is association with saintly persons. How can I leave the association of saintly persons? How can I even think of something other than that? Oh, thank you. Then no is easy. And if that isn't there, it's sometimes yes and sometimes no. Maybe more, you know, something else that gets a yes instead of no. With love for the spiritual master and Krishna, there's protection. And minus it, we're fair game for Maya. And she's not nice. She plays mean. And sometimes it looks like it's nice. Again, Prabhupada, in that same summer. Maya's calling, come on and enjoy me. Come on and enjoy me so I can kick you in the face. Hey, Mungi, you have something? No? Okay, well then there, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.